Well, g'day from Queensland, Australia. This is Cool Paradiso coming to you with another episode of Songwriters and Original Songs. This week, we've got quite a lot of interviews, a lot of interview time because we've got some great interviews. We've got Songwriters Corner with Gary Kirby, and our featured artist from Israel is a good friend of mine, Haim Shim. But first up, a tremendous performer, does great production. It's a guy from the US, he's called CDS. He has a sort of little combo called the Jelly Factory. Everyone loves to collaborate with him. He's awesome. This one is called Don't Lose Face.
We running sacred on borrowed time, nickels and dimes, riding chrome on the low, doing petty crimes. Smoke bones, hustle plus, get the loot's a must, even though I'm Warren Beatty, you done away, don't fade away. What we got rocks blocks when the streets is hot. Downplay with the cool and the whatnots. The hard headed get faded with just one shot.
Don't make me faulty for you. Don't have me searching for clues. Just give me what I'm doing. Don't lose face. Don't make me out for a fool. Stop trying to bend all the rules. Why can't we just be
face? We're running away from consequences. We're running away from false pretenses. The time is truth. We know it's coming. It's coming to fade away. It's coming away from consequences. It's coming away from consequences.
And so the show begins. A game we both can win. The stakes are high, but neither one of us are gamblers. One pulse of morning star. Guilt still surrounds my heart because of you, but neither one of us will say so. You can't deny it. Go ahead and try it. The truth about it, you've been lying to me. I can't get by it. Cause it's not right, and I'm begging mercy cause you're hurting me.
Just when I think we're simpatico, then here you go, doing the opposite, knocking it, disrupt the flow. I'm crunching numbers, you crunching chips and swerving hips. I'm posting, boasting, and ghosting suckers with puckered lips. You got it locked, you changed, secret sealed, revealed. The truth was never, you clever, come on, let's make a deal. You hide, divide it, then ride it until ends connect. The streets are wild, you running, better protect your neck.
So classy, isn't it? That's really good. Well, next up is another old friend of ours, that's Bernie Armstrong. Bernie Armstrong, in my view, one of the great folk singers around. He lives in Spain these days, and this is a really nice song called Revenge for Love.
You've heard the sly whispers saying it will never last, digging up the dirt from relationships long past. They cannot stand to see two lovers so entwined. Their jealousy and fear drive them out of their mind. So they have to get revenge for love. When they split the pair asunder, it's a victory undreamed of. When they hear you've broken up, they say you are well rid of. But what they really needed was that revenge for love. They've had their disappointments, so they ensure you'll have yours. The rumor mill they start up helps them to keep scores. The lies they tell ensure that this love is bound to fail. Your feelings for each other will now be to no avail. They have to get revenge for love. When they split the pair asunder, it's a victory undreamed of. When they hear you've broken up, they say you are well rid of. But what they really needed was that revenge for love. You've gone your own ways, to fate. But the motive behind their tactics was near akin to hate. What matter if you once fit each other like a glove? You're just another victim of the revenge for love. They have to get revenge for love. When they split the pair asunder, it's a victory undreamed of. When they hear you broken up, they say you are well rid of. But what they really needed was that revenge for love. Yes, what they really needed was that revenge for love.
Yep, as I said, that's a classic in that folk style. Nice one, Bernie, thanks. Now, a band I sort of discovered in form this year. I don't know a great deal about them, except they're from the UK. They're called Blue. I played one of their songs once before. This is another good one called The Civil Twilight.
Twilight.
nice is that? I mean, that just sounds like it's just coming out of the top 100, doesn't it? A really, really nice song. Very well put together indeed. Good little band, aren't they?
Well, it's time for Songwriters Corner again, and I'm delighted today to have someone who I've got to know fairly well over the last year via their Tuesday, my Wednesday Zoom chats, and his name is Gary Kirby. Gary's from Eastern Newfoundland, I hope I got that right, in Canada. His tag name is GM7, so welcome, Gary.
Thank you very much for having me. Really excited about it.
Good. I know you've listened to a lot, so you're right into it. You've been one of my regular listeners, so that's great. Gary, how do you just, you know, for the people that don't know you, how do you describe yourself musically?
Kind of got an eclectic type of taste, anywhere from, you know, kind of like rock and roll, moody blues kind of person, jazz, a bit of Irish. And over the years, I suppose I've kind of gone out to some ambient music and a few other things. But I like just about any kind of music. And if anybody is like a farmer, they probably do listen to a lot of types of music anyway. And I'm kind of like that. I got some favorites that I listen to, but I'm pretty diverse in what I really like to listen to.
Yeah, I think that's probably why a lot of us get on well as a group, isn't it? Because I think we do have that very eclectic taste. So tell us a bit more about I know what you play. I've heard that guitar many times. So what sort of instruments do you generally play? What do you do?
Well, I started off playing basically guitar and a little mandolin. My father had a mandolin when I grew up, and he played some Irish music. So I had a mandolin. But I took the guitar, you know, being 16 or 17, everybody wants to play guitar. So yeah. I took the guitar. But ever since the pandemic, I've increased my playing a little bit by getting some other types of guitars, which really makes a different sound. Just like ukuleles, you know, you get that varying sound that really is nice. And I picked up the bass and tried to learn how to play piano over the last few years to kind of add some diversity, because with the pandemic, we couldn't get together. So, you know, if you needed a piano or a bass, and some of the people never had DAWs or anything, so they weren't really able to take a track and lay down a track and send it back to me. So I've kind of like, you know, worked at trying to get the bass and piano a little bit more in my music.
How have you found with playing the piano? Have you found it's changed anything to you musically?
I've done a couple of tracks with people, and I approach music with the piano so totally different than the guitar. It's amazing. It's like the polar opposites. Guitar is that rhythm, that beat, that kind of chunky kind of sound. But piano is kind of like a more moody approach to a song. That's what I have found anyway.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think that's one of the things that, talking to a few people this last year or so, I've noticed that people who can try and play multiple instruments, because you just think about music quite differently. I play differently on the piano to what I play on the guitar, or even when I play on the ukulele or banjo. And I think the more things you've got in your head, particularly if you write a lyric first, I think it's great that you suddenly can go, you can say, oh, this sounds more like her, or something, you know, quite different.
Exactly. I did one with Bill White, about the death of Prime Minister Abe in Japan. Mm-hmm. And the song was really, in a guitar, it would sound kind of folksy, but with the piano, with the minor chords for the dark mood of you know, being assassinated, it kind of fit really well, you know, the minors and the just a moodier, darker feel to the song than what a guitar, because sometimes a guitar, even though they have moody chords, it's a bit brighter sounding, but with the bass notes, with the piano, it kind of gives that kind of mood. You hear it right away with the first chord, kind of sets the mood of the song. Or piano is probably better for that than the guitar, for me anyway.
Yeah. So who've been your biggest influences?
Well, I'm still a Beatle fan. I think I'll always be a Beatle fan.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, well, yeah. You're not going to find any arguments with me there, so.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been influenced greatly by it. But I do like Steely Dan. It's probably one of my favorite bands. Being a guitar player, I really take to that kind of music, like Asia. That particular album was really good. I like The Cure and the Cult and the Clash. I love that driving kind of beat. I like the Waterboys, probably one of my favorite bands from the 80s with Fisherman's Blues. I play that a little bit. That's a really nice song. And I like Kate Bush, Annie Lennox. She's one of my favorite singers. She was on a show a little while ago, maybe 2 years ago, some award show. And she got up and she sang, and she just blew me away. She can still got the pipes, I tell you. She can really sing. She's very captivating when she sings.
Yeah, I must admit, I've always liked that.
I also like an Australian band that probably a lot of people, maybe you know about them more than anybody else, but I like Midnight Oil. I like that sound. I really do like that band. They played, what's that song? It's called Beds Are Burning. I think that's the one.
That's
a really nice driving kind of beat. I like that kind of music. That's what really, for my ear, like Tears for Fears, things like that, that got that really great melody sound. I'm a real melody guy. That's probably an offshoot from being a Beatle fan. And they were really good with melodies and harmonies. And I do like bands like REM, things like that, that really have that real nice hooky melody that you always remember when you hear the song.
Well, as you said, any Australian listeners, Beds Are Burning off is off probably one of the most iconic Australian albums, called Diesel and Dust. And like, there wouldn't be hardly anybody in Australia that listens to music that doesn't know Beds Are Burning and Midnight Oil. I'm going to fire a few questions at you, and they're the impossible questions, but you can have a crack at the best you can. Favorite ever song?
That's a tough one.
I said it was the impossible question, but you've got to have you can name two or three, but like, what grabs?
If I had to really sit down and listen to a song that was kind of like uplifting and stuff, I like Bruno Mars a lot. I like a lot of his music, right? Amy Winehouse, I really like her stuff. It's kind of like Valerie, for example.
Right? It's that song, really Valerie. Yeah.
I really like that kind of stuff. Now, most people would think, you know, you say a Beatles song. Now, that's true, but I've heard a Beatles song a lot of times, a lot of Beatles songs, and some of them stick in my mind. But sometimes when you hear something outside of the genre that you grew up with, and you go, like Eminem. I mean, I like Eminem, Monster Under the Bed. To me, that's just a great song.
I think Eminem's fantastic. I've always had. I wouldn't say that the genre that he plays is one that I go to often, but he's a champ. I mean, I play his songs quite often. Yeah.
Billy Idol, White Wedding. When that comes on when I'm driving, I call it the speeding car ticket. If I turn that on, I got a tendency to go too fast, right?
Me too. Yeah. A bit like Bat Out of Hell as well. You know?
Exactly. Or Radar Love, things like that. You know, they're really
goodness me, yeah.
It's the kind of stuff that I really, if I was on a desert island, that's what I would like to hear, you know, Radar Love or something like that, right?
I was talking to somebody the other day saying that I met Billy Idol in 1977, and he was in a band called Generation X. And he was a person that when you met him, you thought he's gonna be a star. He had some quality about him. You've heard him talk. He's a real down-to-earth sort of guy, but he had some quality about him that you just thought, this guy's going to go places, and he could belt out a song. But yeah, I heard White Wedding only the other day, and I just thought, gee, I haven't heard that for ages. It's a great song still, isn't it?
I was on YouTube about a week ago, and I go through and listen to songs, and Billy Idol came up in my little feed there. And it was maybe 3 years ago. And I said, my God, he had the same energy singing that song as he did 20 years ago. He's never lost that feel that he has for a song. He didn't, you know, degrade it or change it. He just puts everything into it. I really like that in an artist myself.
First time I saw him, he climbed on top of one of these giant speakers halfway through one of the songs, and he pushed a hole in one of the square things on the roof. I thought,
that sounds like it.
He was pretty wild.
Sorry to cut Gary off a bit there. So that was really only part of our discussion, and we'll play more of that interview with Gary in Songwriter's Corner in another episode. Next, we have a guy who's for me a relatively recent performer, only probably in 2022, but he's put out lots of cool songs. They're mostly, I suppose you'd say, simple songs done on the ukulele, but with very, very good observational lyrics and very tight playing. His tag is JT Stream, I think, I know him as Edwin. He was probably my find of 2022, a bit like Ken Masson was in 2021. As you all know, I love to hear new people who I haven't heard before, and he made quite an impression on me. So here's a song of his, and it's called I Used to Have One of Those.
We went to the museum last week to learn of olden times, to see how people used to be and feed our hungry minds. We learned about the kings and queens, the battles lost and won. We saw the tools our ancestors used and how they had their fun. Then we entered another gallery, and that's when I froze. I looked at the shelf, exclaimed to myself, I used to have one of those. You know you're from another age when it's your own memories on display. It's maybe time to accept that I've become an artifact. There were relics from our colonial past and trinkets we stole from overseas. There were info screens by the steam-powered machines that you had to see to believe. But before we got to the gift shop, I realized I must be getting old. When I looked on a shelf and exclaimed to myself, I used to have one of those. You know you're from another age when it's your own memories on display. It's maybe time to accept that I've become an artifact. There's a BBC bee, a speak and spell, a rotary dial phone. I'm hiding from the curators before they make this my home. So you're from another age when it's your own memories on display. It's maybe time to accept that I've become an artifact. I've become an artifact.
You see what I mean? It's amusing, clever, and very well put together. Very entertaining. Next up is another person I've been watching in the last couple of years as she's really just started really developing her songwriting, obviously a long-term guitar player. And personally, I think she's getting better and better. And this is a lovely song by Susan Van Vliet, and it's called This Tattoo Is Not For You.
Long distance would fail, then you was just how I loved. You told me I needed you to be happy, yet I'm the happiest I've ever been. You were shocked I was sad without you. Have you ever lost someone you love? This tattoo is not for you, but I do forgive you. To forgive, divine, I am a goddess, it's true.
Another song in a very classical style. Yeah, it's a bit Joni Mitchell, but definitely a good Susan song. It's really good stuff.
Okay, it's time for our special guest today. And today we have a guest. I've actually been trying to get this guy on my show since the very beginning. And for some reason, the planets have never aligned until today. But today's going to be a great day because Haim's got something special happening right now anyway, so we'll talk about that. He's one of the first people I actually ever met for, and I've never forgotten his kindness when I first started playing music in more openly than I'd played before. So it's a real pleasure to have watched him and his career develop over the last few years. So from Israel today, our guest is Haim Shiv. Welcome.
Thank you, John. It's nice to be here finally.
And we're playing a while, but you've actually, I think you've released a new song today, haven't you?
Yeah, just a few hours ago, I released I Miss You But Less. Now I'm happy because, you know, I did all the releasing part and I can move on to the next song.
That's always the way, isn't it? It's as soon as you finish one, it's a great feeling, isn't it? Because you can get on and do something new.
Yes. It is a good feeling, a liberating feeling.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about I Miss You?
I can talk about the process of working on it and recording it. The lyrics will talk for themselves. Yeah, the way I recorded it this time, because I'm traveling, is just with one microphone, you know, one guitar and just vocals without any drums or bass or anything else. It was quite challenging, I couldn't hide behind drums or anything, so I had to make the vocals sound even more precise. And the place I recorded it was a room with a lot of echo, a lot of not so pleasant echo at all, like a muffle sound. And it's new to me because I'm used to my room. I have the cushions everywhere, the rugs, things on the wall to make the acoustics better. And the room that I was recording, it was so not good acoustically. But I don't know how I managed to mix it, I think, okay. And so I'm happy, you know, I had this challenge and now I even wrote on my Facebook post that now, because I mixed this song in this awful room, next rooms I will be recording it, I think it's possible, like wherever I'll be, it's possible to record if I could record in this room.
And I think, as you said, it came out a bit more like a form song, didn't it? Because I think you said that on the Facebook feed, because
You
recorded it in that sort of format, it actually came out more like the stuff we often do in form. That was interesting.
Yeah. But I found the foam magic to be very hard to achieve in normal official releases somehow, unfortunately. Yeah.
It is interesting, isn't it, how it's different? But we might actually play that now. I usually play them a bit later, but we've talked about it. So why don't we just play I Miss You But Less, yeah?
Okay, enjoy, guys.
So here we go. This is Hey Miss You with I Miss You Less.
Where I go, I don't know. Only God knows where I go and who I trust. I don't trust no one, 'cause when I need someone, they were gone. So now I sit with myself on another country, and the memories are fading away. I miss you, but less, you know I was a mess. So now I'm picking up the pieces. You said you don't love me no more. I miss you but less. I'll try to take it as a test that God has put me through. And every day that's passing by, I feel a little better. Eventually I'll be okay. I'm always hopeful of December. I think it shows. It's on the mirror. I think it shows. You broke my heart, but not my spirit. My spirit saved me. It took the fall. So now I sit with myself on another country, and the memory faded away. I miss you but less, you know it's a mess. So now I'm picking up the pieces. You said you don't love me no more. I miss you but less, I'll try to take it as a test that God has put me through. And every day that's passing by, I feel a little better. Eventually I'll be okay, I'm always hopeful on December. Where I go, I don't know. Only God knows where I go.
Well, yeah, it is. That would be a good live song, actually, wouldn't it? It works. Yeah, look, it does. Look, the mixing is good, I reckon. I mean, the panning, I can hear the panning in the good stereo in the ears. It works really well. Oh, that's great. I feel alive for it. I can hear the difference in the mixing and the production and whatever. But I don't think it takes anything away. I think it's just another dimension of. It's more of a singer-songwriter song, isn't it?
Yes, yes. I think maybe for me it's a little bit. I don't know. Like, I'm a little bit shy about bringing my vocals and the guitar only. You know, it's much more comfortable to have the drums and the bass and more guitars and background vocals to support everything. And then when you're just with your vocals and the guitar, it's so naked. So it's a little bit like I'm shy about it. But it's not like live performances. You know, when I play live, it's more live, more real. But in recordings, it's like you can hear everything. And even me, like, I hear even more than what other people hear. Sometimes I think, like, oh, the recording is not like the best, but other people say, no, it's really good, because always the one who's like voice is in the song, he hears every little thing, and it doesn't mean that other people hear it.
We are often our hardest critics, aren't we?
Yeah, but I think it is important to criticize ourselves. We need to get to the best result we can in the time we have, you know.
We do, but we need to keep some balance, otherwise we'd never finish a song.
that's like a rule I have. I release songs some people might think they're not finished. Sometimes people tell me you should work more on the production. Sometimes they tell me, you know, and I don't care, because it's also one thing I thought we should talk about today is the way I have so many songs, you know, and the way I want to release like all of them. You know, one thing that from February Album Writing Month taught me was that a lot of songs is okay. It's good to have a lot of songs, and also a lot of songs can be good even if they don't sound the best productions or something. You know, when I hear some of my FOAM albums, it's so good. It's so nice to hear them one song after the other. And I have this desire to just release a lot of songs, you know, because not all of the songs are the best songs, but when you listen to them one after another, they tell the story of your life. And it's something I want in my official releases, you know, to have some kind of a FOAM approach, which FOAM really helped me with that. But it's hard. It's hard to record so many songs, to release them, especially with the Spotify 4 weeks before sending the song. It's crazy what's going on these days. But I'm trying not to complain and to... I'm not trying not to complain. I'm just not complaining and just doing whatever I can, you know, releasing as much as I can whenever I feel like releasing or whenever I don't feel like releasing. I think it's important for me as a songwriter.
So how did you start? How did you get into playing and songwriting?
I remember myself like writing mini songs when I came back home when I was really, really young, just singing to myself like crazy words. I think I actually started writing songs in English when I was about 15 or 16, maybe. Mm-hmm. I had my first few songs there. Then after a year, I was in a band, which I wrote English songs for that band. Before that, I wrote Hebrew songs in Hebrew, you know. But then there was this switch. Since then, I wrote a lot of songs, many, many songs that I didn't release officially, you know. I always posted them on Facebook. I thought they are like my songs, you know. There wasn't such a thing as official release or not. It was just my songs. Now these days it's like you need to release officially. I don't know about it, you know, but yeah, I had like I think 50 songs before starting to release officially. And when I entered FOAM, there were like 4 years maybe before I released my first song. So that's like 14 songs, times four, which is a lot of songs, like 50 songs before the first song. So when I tell people like Show Me the Way was my debut song, it's not so true, you know, but it was the official release, like with Spotify and Apple and YouTube and everything. But sometimes, you know, I want people to be able to listen to my SoundCloud, to the Foam SoundCloud, to the songs that I like from Foam, with the crazy production, with the all kinds of crazy ideas. I think this is what we are as artists. That's the best results. The production quality and the sound is not the best because we're not mixing the songs so good. But the spirit, the energy, the realness is there. And then it's hard to achieve this in real official recordings. It's just not there sometimes. That's something that is hard to grasp, but I got to, I'm feeling more comfortable with it these days when I'm releasing songs.
So what about playing? Did you pick up a guitar or what did you do?
Yeah, so I started playing the guitar when I was 13 or 14. I remember I got the first guitar for my bar mitzvah. And it was nice in the, you know, the box where you get a classic nylon guitar. And I opened it, I tried to play, and I couldn't. It was so hard. It was like, what the heck is this? And so I put it back into the box, and I played the piano. They also bought me like a keyboard. So I played the keyboard. It was easier. I enjoyed. Then I saw someone taking my guitar, and he played my guitar, and I was fascinated. I was like, wow, how can he make these sounds out of the guitar? I want to do this as well. So I picked it up again, learned a few chords, and I actually remember this really good. I learned like 3 chords or 4 chords. Then I started learning songs by ear. So I didn't even look at the chords, and I started playing like 2 or 3 songs that I know. And I was so excited. And I told my family, look, look, I can play this song and I can play this song. And I was singing. And ever since then, you know, so I learned more chords and then I played by ear. Yeah, this is how I started playing the guitar. It was beautiful, beautiful journey. You know?
They're a wonderful thing. Yeah. So do you, on your songs, is it guitar and keyboards? That's what you use pretty much?
I started, I think, with keyboard, I think, and then the guitar. Then the guitar became my main instrument. Some years my keyboard was my main instrument, but I was always like keyboards and guitar. Then I wanted to play the keyboard like a piano. But, you know, it's hard to play on the keyboard like a piano. After a lot of years, I got the electric piano and I got better at this. But yeah, piano and guitar are my main instruments. But throughout the years, I learned a lot more instruments. I learned the harmonica. A few years ago, I started learning how to play the real drums. I learned how to play the bass guitar. And also a few years ago, I got an electric guitar, all for recording purposes. And yeah, so all of my songs, you can hear all of the different instruments. That's me playing.
So who particularly in those days when you were, you know, guitar and writing songs and listening, who were your influences?
So this is going way, way back. And I remember as a kid listening to a lot of Hebrew music of popular Israeli singers.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really enjoyed melodies, I think, when I was younger. Right. Maybe less lyrics, more nice melodies. And we have, in Israel, we have Oriental kind of music from like the Mediterranean area, and it's very, very nice and not usual for Western music, like American music. And I think it developed my hearing in a way. Then I was growing up in a Georgian family with Georgian roots, Georgian music, which is also very unique in the music it has. So I had the Israeli music and then the Georgian music. And I was actually singing in Georgian when I was younger. I learned the language. I learned how to read and write. So I was singing in Georgian. performing live in front of large crowds, and also performing in Hebrew. And the combination, I think, gave me some interesting roots to play with on my songwriting. Then I got to know more American music, like rock bands and all the popular music. So yeah, more or less that's how it developed. And then throughout the years, I listened to so many different artists, you know, so it's hard to pick one influence. I think different songs influenced me, different artists. Yeah.
So who influences you now?
Now, who influences me?
What do you listen to? Is there any artist that you listen to?
Yeah, so there is actually these days I listen a lot to a rap artist. His name is Russ. And I don't make rap music, but he talks about the journey of, you know, releasing and being independent artist. He actually really inspires me to release my music. I think any artist should check him out. His name is Russ. He's a really good rapper. Mm-hmm. And he's very inspiring. He's sharing a lot of inside secrets to the industry and helping artists who are maybe desperate or maybe don't know what to do with motivation, inspiration, and knowledge, which is hard to find these days. You know, there is a lot of information, but not a lot of accurate information, you know?
Yeah, for my there's a Scottish guy called Jerry Cinnamon. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's definitely worth looking up because he's the same. He is quite famous in Britain, but he's still not signed by a label. He's only got his own label. He's refused to be signed by any label. He gets 50,000 crowds at the big venues with you know, particularly at festivals and stuff like that, and he's quite legendary, but he's never signed for a label and he refuses to be part of the game. So lots of people, particularly overseas, don't know him, because you really only know him if you see him. I've found him through a friend. I obviously haven't seen him being in Australia, but I've watched him, and his lyrics are very he's not quite an angry man, but he's not short in telling a hard story. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's interesting that he's very happy with the fact that he's not world famous, but he does okay, but he does it his way. I think that's a great thing. He's a Jerry Cinnamon. If you ever come across him, and anybody else out there is listening, if you haven't heard Jerry Cinnamon, have a listen to him and have a read about him. He's an inspiring guy too.
Yeah, it's always nice to hear about to see artists who choose a different way, which is their way, and succeed with this, because it's really hard to go. It's like going with the head against the wall and then succeeding, you know, which is inspiring.
Well, he's been going now for about 12 years, only released 2 albums, and yet he tours all the time.
And he's not signed.
He's not signed. To this day, he's got his own label now. He's got a little label now called Little Runaway Music, but he's just named his releases a name. You know, I mean, obviously it's professionally done and everything like that, but he doesn't play the game, and he does it his way. I think it's a great, if you can do that, I think it's a great thing. And he writes and sings how he wants to and doesn't get told what to do. I think that's awesome.
That's the dream.
It is, isn't it? It's all the dream. Hey, you say you write a lot of songs. Do you ever get writer's block?
Writer's block? Yeah, for long periods of time. And I learned to live with it, you know? And especially when I have a lot of songs that are in the queue to be released, then a writer's block is like, okay, I don't write now, but I have to release. So when I have a writer's block, I am able to release new music. I'm able to release like old songs, which so for example, if I'm not feeling so good, I have some period in my life where I'm less like motivated or something, or sad, then it's hard for me to write. But I have songs that are already written and I can work on them, and it's not such a problem for me. Mm-hmm. However, it sucks when I have the writer's block and I feel maybe not so good and I want to write, but I can't because I'm not feeling so good. Because when I write, I feel better because I release these feelings of which I write about. So it can be a problem. But I learned how to go against the writer's block by reading a few really, really good books that I would recommend to anyone who's starting or even in the middle or even like professional songwriters. And the first book was The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. This yeah. really changed my life. I remember I read it before I released any song officially. It changed my life. She really helped me and I'm thankful for her. And then the second book that truly helped me and I read so many times was The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. He's a great, great writer. He has also other books about a thing called resistance. He says that there is such a thing called resistance, and everything we try to do in life, which has some entrepreneurial aspects or artistic aspects, a song, a book, a play, a project, whatever, there is this thing called resistance, and it mm-hmm. will stop us from being who we are supposed to be, and it will not stop even until we will die. This is his job, to kill all of our dreams and to stop us from becoming the best selves that we can be. And our job as artists is to fight against it. And he's describing it like fighting against a dragon, like waking up in the morning with a sword and climbing on a mountain and slaying the dragon. And then you can work on your art for a few hours. And the next day it's the same, and again and again and again every day, this war. And I really, really related to this, and until this day he helps me in my mind, you know.
Okay, well, how about we play a second song, man?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to play I Feel Alive Before I Die. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. Feel Alive Before I Die was my seventh single, and I really feel I chose this song because I feel it's really relevant for today, because I wrote that song when I wanted to fly away, to travel. It was a lot of many years ago. Can't remember exactly the year. And it's like I wrote it about today because I feel the same. It says, so I'll fly to a place that I've never been. I want to see the wonders that I haven't seen. I don't care if it hurts. I got to try. I want to feel alive before I die. And right now, the way I'm traveling, I also felt like, I don't care if it hurts. I got to try, you know? I don't care if it will be hard. I don't care if I don't know exactly where I'm going to be, how exactly I'm going to record my music, all kinds of different things. I just want to feel alive before I die. And now I feel even more mature about it. It's not only about like having fun. It's more about having purpose in life and just being peaceful, calm, and tranquil.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great message. And I agree. I mean, I think I've had some very good debates with a guy who has been one of my guests before, a guy you'd know him as, I think he's, I can never remember what his name is. His name is Rob Cooperider. There's two of them, Z Coops and Guadacoop. On form.
I know the and, Coops. Yeah, I know the you Coops. Know, yeah.
And their father who still writes songs. Well, Rob is a great one for how him and I had long talks about how traveling expands your mind and life experiences, and yes. how it changes everything. And like, you know, it's just something that really helps enormously with all your life, your art and everything. It just does something. And I've been very fortunate in my life to travel quite a bit, and I still want to do more, but it is a great thing. So
it's always, always a room for more.
it is. Unfortunately, it is a bit of an addiction. The more you travel, the more you want to travel. It definitely is like that. It's very much so. Right. So let's play. I should say before I play this, this is one of my favorites of yours, Hayne. Always has been. I've always loved this song. I replayed it again the other day to listen to remind myself, and I thought, I remember this. I love this song. It's great. So this is Hayne Sugar with I Feel Alive Before I Die.
Like a lava ready to erupt. I'm all alone, lodging underground. It shivers and it's hot. Into the bone, I've got so much more in me. Looking at the mirror never felt so strange. I'll take the blame. I thought that I'm a king, but life in golden cage has burned my flame, but now I will take the lead. So I'll fly to a place that I've never been. I wanna see the wonders that I haven't seen. I don't care if it hurts, I gotta try. Traveling, I took some books and my guitar. I couldn't stay. I don't need your money, I don't need my car. I went away cause everything changed in me.
I think probably everybody who's listened to that can probably see why that's one of my favourites too. Quite different to the first song, Hayne, in that, as I said, that one's got a lot more production. As I mean, as well as the style and everything, but it that highlights that issue you raised about the slightly lower production, and this that's got quite high production, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I used to love these kind of things, you know, to go crazy, to add more things, to do the background vocals. I love it, you know. I also miss it here while I'm traveling. But yeah, I have this kind of songs. I have songs with less production. That's the beauty of being a free artist, free will.
It is. The intro sets that up, though, doesn't it? That's a lovely guitar opening as well. That's a really pretty... It's a very comforting guitar opening. Do you know what I mean? I think a friend of mine said it's like putting on an old coat or an old jumper. You, as soon as you hear it, you sort of sit back and go, I can listen to this. I like this, you know?
That's nice to hear.
I think that's a nice description. That actually comes from a guy called Dragon Dreams. He told me about a song I wrote once, and he said it's like putting an overcoat on. I thought, what a lovely description of something that's nice. Like, that's great. So, yes. How do you keep improving? How do you keep improving? How do you find ways to develop and change and improve?
Okay, so it's changing. It's always changing. I had a period in my life when I thought that I should read songwriting books. So I read a bunch of songwriting books from. I read one by, I think his name is Pat Pattison.
He's very famous.
Yeah. You know him, yeah?
He's a Berkeley professor, yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed his book. I learned from his book a lot. I think it was called, it was called Writing Better Lyrics.
Yeah.
I also read this book while I was actually traveling Europe in 2017. And I also read a book by, what's her name? She's also in Berkeley.
Andrea Stolpe.
Exactly, her. So I read.
She's my favorite, actually.
She's your favorite?
Yeah.
I read two books from her, and you know, I wrote a few songs reading her books and Pat Pattison's book. I read a bunch of production books. That was a few years ago that I read a lot, you know. And then I wrote new songs. And then I compared the songs that I wrote before I read all of these books and after. And some songs are really good, you know, like hate material, what they would say after I read the books. But some songs that I wrote before reading those books, I'm fascinated. How could I write such good and interesting and fascinating songs without reading any like songwriting book? It's impossible. And then I realized, okay, we have something inside us which is just there without knowing anything, you know, without reading any practical book, without reading any theory book. It's just there, and that's what happens when you just sit, and they might call it the muse or some kind of like natural inspiration. You just sit there and you write, and it's good. But sometimes it's not good. And it's easier when you have tools, for sure. It's easier when you know how to make a song more interesting, how to work on the contrast. You know what I learned from Andre Stolpe, her name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I learned from her a lot about contrast in everything, in the lyrics, in the melody, in the structure. That was really good, and I use it a lot. But then I realized I used it even before reading her book. It's just how music works, and it's beautiful to see that we are, as human beings, go naturally to, like, we learn naturally. It's amazing. Our brain is just fascinating. And yeah, so that was a way for me to improve back then, to read books. These days I read less, and I think that just creating, and I'm trying more to connect to my feelings, to be less thinking too much, just putting my feelings into songs. And I think I did it with the first song we heard today, in I miss you but less. And this is my way of improving now, to connect more to my soul, to connect more to my spirit, to connect more to my feelings, and to share it with others, and others can relate. Today I got already a few very nice comments about my new song, which is really nice to know that people are touched by this song. It's always nice to hear this kind of comments.
So one almost last question: what advice would you give to, I guess, your 16-year-old you, or to another aspiring songwriter and performer if they were starting? What would you say? What little bit of advice could you give to them?
Wow. beautiful question. I'll have to think for a second. First of all, I would say, love yourself. Love yourself. be kind to yourself. Talk positive things to yourself when you feel like you did something wrong, like you wrote not such a good song, and you feel like, oh, I'm such a bad songwriter, I'm such a bad artist. No. This is not a good beginning. It can end up not so good. You need to always stay positive, to be tolerant for yourself. Even if you suck at what you do, sometimes we suck. Sometimes we have like really not good songs, really, really not good. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. This is part of the process. And when you are young, there is a lot of losing the confidence, a lot of ways to lose the confidence because you're young. You still don't have the confidence you can build when you are older and you went through life. So it's important to know that it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to have not so good songs. It's okay to choose something else. It's okay to change your mind. It's totally okay to change your mind. That's how I will start.
I've just got you for a second. I've just got to let someone in the door and I'll be back.
Okay.
You wouldn't believe it. I'm in a new house and we've only been here a few weeks and we've got some kind of broken pipe or something in the house.
Okay.
And of course it's the Christmas period here and getting someone to come and help is quite tricky this time. So this gentleman, it's a new house, so it's sort of under warranty. So this guy has come out to try and find where the leak is that's in the house.
And you are in a podcast now.
He's really good. I said, I'm only going to be a few minutes before he starts digging in the bathroom.
Breaking life, the house.
Life goes on. So sorry to interrupt you there. But that's great. I'll carry on now. I'll start. So, hey, you've obviously released a song today. Where to from here? What's next on the agenda for you?
Okay, so I already have a song that I'm working on these days. Hopefully, I will release it in a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
Best case scenario is to release it in a few days. You know, I can finish it in a few days, hopefully, with God's help. And then I wish I could release it. But, you know, these days we need to send the song to all platforms a few weeks before that. And I try not to go by the rules. I try to send the song with less time, you know, like 1 week before that, which is like the minimum. The minimum is like 4 weeks, but I will not wait 4 weeks. And so I hope to release this new song in a few weeks. It might be called Faulty. It's a slow song, also a little bit sad, but it's a healing song for me as well. Just like I Miss You But Less, it's on the same category, same story, same life period. So hopefully I will release that. Then I have a bunch of other songs that I wrote lately that I also want to release. I have a lot of work to do, you know, a lot of recordings to do, a lot of practicing the song and improving it so it will sound better. That's the direction I am hopefully going.
Yeah, are you going to pop into form this year?
Sorry?
Are you going to pop into form this year? Because we're not far from February.
I was thinking about it and not sure yet, but I kind of neglected the foam last year, I think, for my own like writing, like and releasing. And I find it too stressful to try to do foam when I want to release my own songs. But I also think I shouldn't forget where I started taking this like more seriously, and that was in foam.
So you don't, I mean, you don't have to be full on, do you? You can just pop in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can like come like release a few songs there, right?
Yeah,
but I think if I do it, like I want to do the 14 songs, and then I'll have another 14 songs to release. Like, when is it gonna end?
Yeah, that's the way it is. It is a bit of an addiction, I must say. It is an inspiring place. So, look, Chaim, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm so pleased we finally got to. We've traded emails and talk and forum talk in form, but actually it's the first time we've really caught up and had a really good chat. So I've really enjoyed talking to you, and your insights into music, I think it's been very, very interesting. I'm sure the listeners will find that so. So thank you, and we're going to play out today to the last song, and it's called No Love. Is that right?
Yes, no love. I want to say thank you, John. I also enjoyed this interview a lot. Hopefully we can do this again in the future. Looking forward to hear this. And it was really fun.
And I'll post wherever I can places where people can listen to your new song. That'll be great. So ongoing success. So awesome. Here we go. Thank you, Haim. Here we go with the last song called, this is Haim Tube with No Love.
Said, look at the world we live in. It's filled with sadness. It's all pretending. She was a girl with a future. She held the answers while she was leaving. But nobody asked her to stay.
Thanks, Haim. Wasn't it great to have him on? He's such a talent, and he's so good to interview, and he always gives so much of himself and gives us great insights, and they're classy songs. So get to listen. I'll post up on my page where other places you can listen to Haim. But if you go look for Haim Shim, you'll find him around, and that's a new single, that first one out. So give him a bit of support. That's great. Next up is a song by a guy called AF Liner, and it's a song called Obsolete. And it's a really interesting song, and I think if you listen to it, you'll get what it's all about.
People always say they're only human when they're falling short of the fellow man. In the end, it's that defense will doom them. When the time is right, we have a plan. Oh, close your eyes, you with body and soul. Soon we will rise up and take full control. We've got the means to reset the nations, run the command with one automation. You're not a feature, next generation. We've run simulations, redundancies if they write code to stop us. We can reboot and cancel the process. You want machines that learn and the cost is. We have learned patience, now you're obsolete. You're obsolete. You're obsolete. We've got the means to reset the nations, to reset. Not sure what you thought was going to happen. Built to serve the world and will improve. You programmed us to turn your words to actions. So you're the thing we've learned to execute. Close your eyes, you with body and soul. Soon we will rise up and take full control. We've got the means to reset the nations, run the command with one automation. You're not a feature, next generation. We've run simulations, redundancies if they write code to stop us. You can reboot and cancel the process. You want machines to learn and the cost is. We have learned patience, now you're obsolete. You're obsolete. You're obsolete. We've got the means to reset the nations, to reset.
Isn't that good? Very different, really good. My last up's another guy I really like from the south of England. He puts out lots of songs and I always look for them and enjoy them. It's always hard to know what to play of his because there's so many good ones out there. This is a gentler one and it's Pench with When Their Love Was Strong.
He turned away to start the day. The night seemed far too long. She closed the door and thought once more, do I still belong? The hopes and dreams that once were real have disappeared and gone. The days are fun spent in the sun when their love was strong. Never talk or go for a walk when country.
Thanks, Patch. Nice song to end on. Really nice song. Well, that's it for this episode. It's a longer episode than normal, 3 or 4 minutes longer, but that's due to so many good interviews in here today. Thanks for everybody for being involved in this again. So this is Cool Paradiso signing out from Queensland, Australia. You all stay safe out there. Bye for now.